Thank you for reading that so well, Pam. Thank you very much indeed. We're continuing our series on shape today, on the fact that we're shaped to make a difference. And 3 weeks ago, we looked at a verse in Ephesians, and it said, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And over the course of this series, we want to help each other to discover how we have been uniquely shaped by God for a unique purpose. To find out how God's made you, you, and then to use that to accomplish what he wants you to do, what those good works are that he wants us to do, both in the church and in the world. There's a man in the Bible called Job, if any of you have read that particular book, and Job says this. He says, "God, your hands have shaped me and made me." And just like Job, God has shaped you and made you for a specific purpose. As I hope you're getting more familiar with week by week in the course of this series, we're using the word shape to represent five things that make you who you are. First, you've got spiritual gifts, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago, asking the question, what am I gifted for? And then last week, we looked at our heart. What is it that we love to do? And today we're looking at our abilities. What am I naturally able to do? What are my natural talents? I looked on the internet to try and find some people's talents this week, and that's a great video to show of Susan Boyle, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant. But there's some quite strange ones out there, guys. So there's one guy who can stick a 6-inch nail all the way up his nose, with causing no problem whatsoever. There's someone else who can put their legs around the top of their shoulders and walk around on their hands, as it were. Some people have found some innate talents in their pets, so one person's cat can actually bark, and one person's dog can walk on its front legs with its back legs in the air. There's one I found that I know can't be true, and that is that one man claimed to be able to watch television and hold a conversation with his wife at the same time. Totally impossible, because we're just not shaped to multitask, guys. I just think that's how it is. But how do you know what your talents are? Not weird ones, just normal ones. What are your abilities? If you're anything like me, you may know what you're not good at better than what you're good at. So if I was to say we're going to have an exercise now for 10 minutes where you take out a piece of paper and I want you to write down 50 things that you're not good at, I think you could compose that list quite quickly. If I then said, turn the piece of paper over and write down 50 things you're really good at, I think you might struggle to get past 10. Useless fact coming up, which is a phrase we use in our house to talk about something that actually has no real consequence for the future, but makes it sound like you read encyclopedias for breakfast. And that is that it's been discovered there are between 500 to 800 talents in every individual. Every person has between 500 to 800 abilities inside of them. Study after study has shown it to be true. So you sitting here this morning have at least 500 abilities in you. Should make you feel good this morning. Good about yourself. The thing is, you don't know most of them are abilities because most of them come naturally to you and you just use them all the time. If you're sitting there thinking, I haven't got any talents, I want to tell you, you've got at least 500 this morning. And in case, actually, for just one or two of you, that's making you sit there, you might be sitting next to your husband or wife and thinking, aren't they fortunate to be married to me? You're probably the one with 500 and they're the one with 800. But what we do as part of this series is I want to help us discover more about ourselves, more about our abilities today that you have. And to help you to put them into service for God and for good in his world. That's what they're there for, to serve God and for good. Now, we've all got different abilities. We've got different shapes. I said this a few weeks ago, didn't I? Just look around physically at who we are. Some of you are shaped like finely tuned athletes, and others of you are tuned slightly differently. Some of you are tall, small, wide, thin, lots of hair, big noses, little noses, whatever it might be. But just as we've got different shapes physically, so we've all got different shapes in terms of our abilities. We're not all good at the same things. Profound statement, isn't it? We're not all good at the same things. You probably knew that before you walked in this morning. But actually, I don't think that's something that society encourages us to really pursue. That we're not all good at the same things. In reality, we're often given the impression we have to conform to a certain standard or to a certain stereotype. At school or college, people often want to focus on people's weaknesses and to improve those, rather than focusing on people's strengths so that they can excel in those. The point is, God has designed us to excel in certain areas and not in others. You were made to be you with your unique mix of abilities that God wants you to use for the things he intended you to do. Our abilities actually form part of God's map for our lives, his will. They point in the right direction. When we know what we're good at, we can begin to know what God wants us to do. In that reading we had earlier from Matthew chapter 25, what's traditionally been called the parable of the talents, but actually more helpfully in the translation we had it read from today called Parable of the Bags of Gold. Each servant is given a responsibility by the master. They're given a certain amount of money. And we're told that they're given that responsibility, each according to their ability. That's what we're told. Each according to their ability. Now, when Jesus tells this parable, he's actually telling a story about being ready for his return when he comes back. How we should behave in the meantime. So quite relevant for us today. And in the parable, Jesus, in a sense, is likening the servants to ourselves and the master to God. And it shows us, I want to flesh this out a little bit more this morning, it shows us this point, that how we should live now is to use what we've been entrusted with by God according to the ability we've been given. How we should live now is to use what we've been entrusted with by God according to the ability we have been given. Now, can I say up front, one application of this point is actually really, really encouraging. It's this. That what God wants us to do with our lives, the responsibilities he's given us to fulfill, are given according to our abilities. So God doesn't want us to do something we can't do, and God won't ask us to do something we can't do. He knows what our abilities are because he's made us and shaped us and designed us and given us abilities that he knows all about. And so the ones we have are just the right ones we need to do what he asks us to do. That's a hugely liberating thing to know. It's liberating because it means discovering our call. In other words, that question that most of us ask from time to time, what's God really want me to do with my life? Or what does God really want me to do in this next season? Actually becomes quite a practical thing rather than a hugely spiritual thing. This isn't to downplay the importance of prayer, but actually we can often play that up and go, I just need to sit and wait for to hear a voice from God to tell me what I should be doing. And until that happens, I don't really know. So I'm just going to wait. In reality, God's made you and planned you a certain way. It's by knowing who you are and using what you have been given to serve others that you discover what God wants you to do. Now, the specifics of our call will need lots of working out. But guys, can we not sit passively waiting for years and years and years, unsure whether we're really doing God's will, and rather actively serve? Every ability is from God. All of them are important, and the ones you have, just hear this morning, the ones you have are not an accident. They were intentionally picked for you. How should we use them? Two ways. If you were here the last few weeks, this won't be a surprise. Two ways we should use our abilities. The first is to honor God. To honor God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says these words. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So no matter what our abilities are, they can be used for God's glory. That's what that verse seems to imply. So carpentry is just as important as teaching. or organizing is just as important as preaching. There are no unimportant abilities. That's great because it means you can honor God by repairing cars or balancing books or helping people find a home or by making music or making meals or managing your office or a million other ways. Whatever you do, Paul says, do it for the Lord as if you're doing it for him and not for man. Use your abilities to honor God. But how else should we use them? We should use them to serve others. To serve others. Our abilities are not given for ourselves, they're given for other people, primarily. We've already said we're not good at everything, so we need other people who have abilities we don't have, and they need you who have abilities that they don't have. For example, just think about a marriage. In a marriage, you often find two people are put together, don't you, who are put together to complement each other's strengths and to compensate for each other's weaknesses. Often how it works. For example, just think about finances and budgeting and paying the bills. Little exercise here this morning. There's no catch in the answer, so don't think, oh, I don't want to put my hand up. Okay, who of you, if you're married here this morning, who here, the man, does most of the finance stuff in the house? Sorts out the budgeting, the bills, that sort of stuff. Okay, hands up. Okay, hands up if it's the other way around, if it's actually the lady who does most of the budgeting and the balancing and stuff like that. Okay, thank you. Okay, interesting split. Question, who should do it? The one who does it better. Yeah. One who does it better, it's a no-brainer. There's not something in the Bible that says the man should look after the money in the household. It's the one who can do it better. That's what happens in our house. Katie's much more financially minded than I am. If it was left to me, we'd have a great time. Plasma TVs, holidays, gadgets, everything. And the children wouldn't have any food or clothes. It'd be great. Thankfully, I don't do that. That's why we have a treasure in the church. It's not just in marriage, though, that we serve other people with our abilities, is it? It's every walk of life. It's at home, the family, work, community, teams we're part of, even the church. In fact, using our abilities, I'd like to say, to serve other people should be even more so in this community. You know, you need the person sitting next to you. They need the people around them. We need each other. We need each other to build the church. It's what God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're talking about the church. Paul says these words, the body is a unit. Though it's made up of many parts, and though its parts are many, they all form one body. What he's saying is that you and I are all needed in this church. Oh, it's true when we talk about our gifts, but it's just as true when we talk about abilities. Now just think how poor our worship would be if we gathered on a Sunday morning, we'd have nobody who could play or read music. Think about how disorganized church would be and chaotic if actually there was no one who could organize and put together a rota. We need each other for the church to function well. Just to practically do church, never mind all the things that we want to do outside of this building in the community. So I'd just like to ask, if you're someone who's come to this church over the last, say, 2 years, 2-3 years, have you thought why God brought you here? How can you serve with the abilities you have in a way that no one else can? Or if you're an old-timer who's been coming here for quite a few years, do you still stop to think, why did God bring me here? What is it he's asking me to do now? Even if that's something I've never done up to this point, because your abilities have never really been fully utilized within the church. One of the reasons we're doing this series is so we can discover how we can serve one another. Two ways we should use our abilities then: to honor God and to serve others. But I'd just like to spend the remainder of our time by looking in a bit more detail at that parable, Matthew 25. If you remember, I said the main point of that parable appears to be to encourage us to use what we've been entrusted with according to the abilities we have. That's what God's looking for in his people. That we'd be faithful in using what he's given us according to our abilities. I just want to unpack briefly that story and draw out three simple lessons. And if you've got Bibles with you or in front of you, have them open at that passage, but I will be putting a few verses up as we go along. I said the parable used to be called the parable of the talents. That's how many of you may know that parable. But actually, I think that's an unhelpful title. Because when we read the word talent, we think of Britain's Got Talent. We think of it as being a gifting, an ability. That's how we use the word. But the way it's used in the parable, the way that it was used at the time of Jesus, was simply to refer to a unit of exchange or a sum of money. That's what a talent was. It had nothing to do with your natural gifting or abilities. That's not the context Jesus is using that word in. Which is why it's much more helpful to talk about the parable of the bags of gold, therefore. It's why at the start of the parable, the master calls three servants to him. And he gives the first one 5 bags of gold. And he gives the second one 2 bags of gold. And he gives the third one 1 bag of gold. And it says he gives them each according to his ability. Each according to his ability. So you see, ability is important in the parable, but it's not the sum of money. It's not what we originally would have thought of as the talent. In other words, the master recognizes that each servant has different abilities, different things they're good at. And because of those differences he sees, he gives each one a different amount of money. Just the right amount for the abilities they have. Do you see that? The first servant doesn't get more money because he's more important. It's just because the three of them are different. Very important for us to grasp if we're really to understand what the parable is about. Really important distinction. So the master goes away, and he comes back after a long time, and he calls the servants to them and says, "What did you do with what I gave you according to your abilities?" And the first servant comes up and says, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. Put some on the table." And the master says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, you've been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And the guy must be pleased, really pleased. And the second servant comes forward, doesn't he, with his bags of gold. And he says, "Master, you gave me 2, and I've gained 2 more. There's a pause. What does the master say? Does the master say, "You lazy, lazy servant. This person came back with 10 bags of gold and you only came back with 4 bags of gold. You think that's good? Go away." Is that what he says? No. He says exactly the same words as he used for the first servant. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Really important to see this, that their commendation and their reward are exactly the same. It's the same because they've been just as faithful with the amounts they were given according to the ability they had. I don't mean to labor the point, it's really important to grasp that. To put it slightly differently, the master ahead of time knows their abilities. He knows his servants well. So he entrusts them with different responsibilities, one with 5 bags of gold, 1 with 2, 1 with 1. And he gives them those because he knows their abilities. And then he rewards them on that basis for being faithful with what they were given according to the abilities they had. That's why the one who only comes back with 4 is given just the same commendation as the one who came back with 10. Which is why the third servant gets such a raw deal. See, we can often read this parable, I think, and feel really sorry for the third servant and go, "Well, what's going on there? What a harsh master." What did he do with the money he'd been trusted with according to his ability? He buried it in the ground. The master obviously thought that he had abilities to be able to convert that 1 bag of gold into 2. But he didn't use any of his abilities to give a return. He was frightened of failure. We read that in verse 25. "I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground." Now, it's just a parable. It's not a true story. So There weren't three real men like this, but actually, you know, why would he have done that? Maybe he didn't think he had any abilities. Maybe that was it. Maybe he thought his master had overestimated or underestimated his abilities. We don't know. What we do know is that he didn't use any of the abilities he had, because I can tell you one thing. It doesn't take any abilities to dig a hole in the ground. You don't need a natural talent to do that. Anybody can do that. He didn't put his abilities to use and didn't get a return on his master's money. What lessons can we draw out of that then for ourselves? For how we should use our abilities, what we should do with them. Three very brief things. They're very brief this morning. First, we need to estimate them. Estimate them. In other words, know what they are. Discover them. Discover your abilities if you don't yet know them, so that you can apply them to the responsibilities God's given you. Now, I don't want to be specific about what those responsibilities are up front, because they're going to be different for each one of us. But we all have responsibilities given by God. They may be family, or jobs, or money, or positions, or influence, or spiritual gifts, or experience, or life situations, whatever they might be. But what the parable teaches us is that we need to know what our abilities are, so we can then apply them to the responsibilities we have. How do you discover them? Well, there's a sheet you had when you came in, which is just trying to summarize in some way abilities. I mean, if I said there were 500 to 800, that would be a very long list if we typed all those out. So that's trying to, you know, put some together. But actually, just ask questions of others. Ask questions of yourself. What am I good at? What am I good at? What do I do well? Ask people around you. Ask people at home. Ask people at work. Ask people in your small group. What do I do well? Do you know often what we do well will also be things we love to do? Quite often our abilities and our heart are quite interconnected. So estimate your abilities. Secondly, dedicate them. Dedicate them. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 1, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. God gave us our abilities and he wants us to use them for him. And just like in the parable that Jesus told, we can choose to do that like the first two servants, or we can choose not to do that like the third servant. Now, you might be someone who is really good at organizing things, and I can tell you, you could put that to great use to honor God or to use to dishonor God. You could organize a rescue or you could organize a robbery. Which one would you do? Are you using your abilities for yourself? Or are you using them to serve God and honor him and serve others with what he's given you? Estimate them, dedicate them. Lastly, cultivate them. Grow them. Develop them. Improve them. Sharpen them. Do that so we can apply them to the responsibilities God's given us. So we can produce a return for God. That's what that parable is about, producing a return. So I want to say up front, in financial speak, God expects to see a return on his investment. Non-financially, God's made a huge investment in you and me. He's made us. He shaped us for a purpose. He sent Jesus to die for us. And he expects us to use what he's entrusted to us according to the abilities we have. That's what the parable of the talents teaches us. It means that being a disciple of Jesus here and now doesn't mean just sitting passively in the world, enjoying what we have, playing it safe, and not doing anything wrong. It's not the picture of discipleship Jesus gives. Jesus tells us in this parable it's about being ready. It's about active, responsible, faithful service, producing results and growth for God and his kingdom. That's what it's about. See, God's going to ask us two questions when we get to heaven. Actually, he's going to ask everybody two questions. First is, what did you do with my son, Jesus? What did you do with my son, Jesus? And the second question is, what did you do with what I gave you? What did I do with what I entrusted to you? Did you use the abilities I gave you to honor me? to serve other people? Did you use them to help others and to build the church and to make a difference for my kingdom? What did you do with what you were given? And if we want to hear those words that the master said to the servant, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, so I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then you need to discover your abilities and you need to use them to fulfill for God everything he has planned for you and to make a real difference in this world. Let's pray.